things. Lord, just pray for your will to be done in the services this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, as we continue through the book of Acts, it says, now when they passed through Amphipolis, that sounds better. Oh, I'm not mic'd. And Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. Now you'll recognize Thessalonica from the first and second book of Thessalonians, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And remember, at this time, they would go into a synagogue because that's where people were. And they were going to the Jew first. Therefore, they would go into the synagogue because they're Jewish converts to Christianity. So they would go there and preach, but Gentiles would hear it too. Verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now, something you've got to think about, why would he use the Scriptures to reason with them? Because he's preaching probably prophetically. He would take into Isaiah 53 and say, this is the one that you guys put on a cross. This is what it says about Jesus. And he would go into all of those Old Testament Scriptures, and what would he preach? He'd preach Jesus. You can preach Jesus from the Old Testament, no doubt about it. It's very true and obvious that Jesus is the one prophesied in the Old Testament. Verse 3. Here's what he was teaching them from the Scriptures. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, the chief women, not a few. So, first thing I want to go, or some other things I want to look at, is it says, as his manner was, he went into the synagogues and he preached Jesus. Paul's manner, if you'll turn over to chapter 26 of Acts, let's look at Paul's manner. Chapter 26, verse 4, he's speaking to Agrippa, King Agrippa. He says, he goes back to verse 3, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs, questions, which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth. So this is his manner of life from youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. He's preaching the Old Testament to Agrippa, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? So that's what he preached. His manner was to go in there and preach a resurrected Christ. How was he resurrected? Because he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He's the sinless Son of God. He shed his blood on the cross, but he had no sin of his own. Now, I'll tell you, last night I went to a gathering, and it's the Crispy Warriors, military guys. And so I got an email that said, would you open in prayer? I'm like, so they introduced me as Pastor Doug Stauffer. And I got up there, and I remember the prayer, and part of it, because I don't generally plan them out, but I do pray about what I'm going to pray in a group that I have never been to the Christmas party. And so I got up and I prayed and I said about Jesus, I said,
you know, the one that died for us and was resurrected, and he didn't have any sin of his own, but he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might have his righteousness applied on our behalf. That's my prayer. And I got a lot of, you know, several people that came up, because it's not a generic prayer. It's a, my manner of, is when I pray in Jesus' name. I don't remember ever a time I did not. And a lot of these guys are believers, you know, but some of them are not. And therefore they need to hear the gospel during my prayer. And that's what they heard. And that's maybe my only opportunity, really, to get it is probably my only opportunity to get it to the whole group. Now, they have asked me to pray for breakfast on Thursday mornings. Every Thursday, they're in Destin for breakfast. And I try to make it when I can, because, you know, these guys, it's just a joy to minister to them. We have one guy that prays all the time. He was Air Force, Army, and a Marine. He gets up and he prays a good extensive prayer that what I told you about what I say, he says. But it's longer. So it's, you know, they get a little bit more, you know, like, oh, you know, and I hear the grumbling and I'm like, whoa. And you know, and it's sort of monotone a little bit, which is fine. I sort of have a way that I'll change the way that I say something. So it breaks it up a little bit. But I got a lot of good comments on it. But I gave them the gospel during the prayer. What better thing can I do at any point in time in my life, at any function? I pray. So the city council contacted me and said, hey, would you open in prayer at the city council on Tuesday night? I'll go and open prayer at city council Tuesday night. I go to the county commission and open in prayer, because they text me. Now, I went to the wrong building when I was asked to do it the last time, because they were in Shalimar and I went to Fort Walton. So I text them, said, hey, I will not be there to open in prayer. School board, I open in prayer. All of it is an opportunity to get the gospel. I can't get up there and preach to all these people, but I can preach in prayer. And that's what I do. So what's his manner of life? He says, look, why is it a strange thing to believe about the raising of the dead? He says, verse 9 in Acts 26, I verily thought with myself, not with God, but with myself, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, here's what I want to make this point on. There are many people you will meet that will think that they need to do things contrary to the name of Jesus. It doesn't mean they're your enemy. It doesn't mean you should take it personal. Paul, Saul, used to kill Christians. Do you think it was for any other reason in his mind than he was doing what God wanted him to do? He was doing what God wanted him to do. And that's what you and I have got to understand, that sometimes even religions have used Christianity to kill those with whom they disagree. That's why it's so important for us to understand that is not Christianity. You never try to force somebody to become a Christian. Two, that was number one. Two, you can't. It's a matter of the heart. I can force you to convert to a religion. I cannot force you to become a Christian, because it's a matter of the heart. Now, go on back to chapter 17. So that's his manner of life. Well, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to make another point on this subject. 2 Peter chapter 2 Timothy, just want to make sure you're turning the pages and you care. And, you know, sometimes I forget. 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Man, that's exciting to hear somebody write that, and it's in the Bible. But he says, you know my manner of life. You ought to know my manner of life. My manner of life is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You say, well, you're involved in the Crispy Warriors. Jesus. You're involved in politics. Jesus. You know, and listen, I just went, and this is going to come out, I hadn't put it out there yet. You know, I went to the governor's mansion, and you know that, but I had a picture taken, several pictures. Judy and I were in a picture. Judy and I were in a picture with the first lady, and I hadn't put any of that out there. But there's one picture in particular where I talked to him about the Crispy Warriors. The book is called Charlie's Ashes. And in there, it's a story of Sam Lombardo. Now, Sam Lombardo was a well-known hero from World War II. Beard was another one, and there's four main characters in the book. It's a fiction with a lot of true historical things in it. So they would be on the bus in this thing, and they would be telling their story about some event in fighting in World War II or whatever. And it's just, Rich just spins this yarn really well. So I was at Crispy Warriors on Thursday. Judy and I were leaving for Tallahassee on Friday to Saturday. And Saturday we're going to go to the governor's mansion. And so I said, well, yeah, I'm going to go there and I'll see the governor. Well, Rich comes up and he says, here's a book, and he endorsed it to the governor. Okay, well, I need to give it to the governor. And then I said, well, let's get a picture of all of us together. There were about 45 people there. So we got a picture of all of us together. And so I was with the governor. I said, governor, I says, you know, I'm in the Crispy Warriors. Here's a picture that was taken Thursday. And this is a book that one of the men have written about World War II. Some of the guys that, you know, lived to be 100 years old that passed away at, you know, right over 100 years old in the last 10 years, all of them. And I said, I told him I'd give it to you. Can I get a picture with us together with you with the book? And he says, and he took the book. I turned around, took the picture, and then sent the picture to Rich. And I mean, you know, these guys are thrilled to death because the idea is to have these groups everywhere where you have the camaraderie of veterans coming together. You open up in prayer and the pledge. And in the pledge, one of the things I just got to tell you about this, we say one nation under God. We don't pause one nation under God, because actually it's one nation under God. And when if you would hear 45 men in a small room that is those pews and that's about it, maybe not even that wide. And I mean, saying the Pledge of Allegiance frequently when we're there. Three times in the last year that I know of, I was only there for one of the three. Somebody outside in the restaurant at Crackings bought the meal for the whole group. What's that group back there? Because they hear us saying the pledge and then the hoorah and oorah and all that afterwards. And you know, and listen, it's a time where people come together. But listen, I'm telling you, my manner of life is it's Jesus. And I don't want you to miss that. And that needs to be yours too. We need to be involved in this city. The parade. I didn't tell Trent anything of what to do. He came up, or you guys came up. How did it happen? All those gifts that are wrapped. I saw those and I was like, well, that's pretty. I didn't read the side of the thing. Until it's sitting out there, because it was late at night. I'm trying to get lights out there so he can see. And when the Eversons were here Friday night, because he had to skip it, they had to skip it because they were working on that. And so I got the lights out. I really didn't focus on the message that Trent was getting across. Do you know what Trent was doing? He was getting Trent and Phaedra. I really don't want to discount Phaedra, because somehow I just think Phaedra was like an integral part of the thing. So they, you know, gave up their time with the Eversons, worked on the float. What was it all about the float? Jesus. Now I talked to, of course, I knew the people doing the judging. When I walked by, I said, hey, Doug. And I was like, hey, we're the best, you know. And so anyway, I did that. But what was my point? Oh, so I asked somebody that watched the whole parade, and they said there might have been one at the very beginning that really had a focus, but they didn't mention Jesus. And I was told, your guys are the only ones that mention Jesus. And then they made the point, if you don't mention Jesus, you've wasted your breath.
Wow, that's good.
And that's what I was told by somebody that watched the whole parade. Listen, That's what we're doing. Get it done. You go to work. You say, oh, I got to go to work and I got to, you know, it's all about making money. It's all. No, it is not. It's about Jesus. I don't mean, and I tell you, do not do what I did. I used to preach during my work time. It's wrong. Doesn't mean you can't do it during break time, lunch time. Doesn't mean you can't say little things. But if you're taking 15 minutes out of your boss's time and not doing the job, I will tell you, I don't think I did the job the way I should have done the job because I was so focused on Jesus. That's a bad testimony. So just be careful. Get the job done. Talk about the Lord. But everything needs to be about Jesus. That needs to be your manner of life. Because that's what it's all about. Go on back to Acts 17. So he talks about his manner of life. And then he says, and it's funny, verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's his whole point. See, we don't go around, we don't understand the Jewish mindset and what the Jews were thinking. When he said he is Christ, those Jews understood that. It's look, he's the Messiah. You crucified your Messiah. Now, in the will of God, according to God's plan, but they still were guilty of breaking God's law and putting an innocent man on the cross. And that's what you have to understand. It's a dichotomy, you might say, where you have to be honest with yourself. You can't go, well, you know, it was God's will, God's fault. Men still made their decision. Men still made their choice. They still said crucify him. They still turned on him. They still betrayed him. They still lied about him. They still treated him with ripping out his beard and spitting on him and telling him, hey, prophesy, come down from the cross. We'll believe. No. Yeah, they probably wouldn't have. But the point being, they crucified an innocent man. So when you read this, don't think, well, you know, Peter's against the crucifixion still. Paul's against the crucifixion. He is reaching people where they are. One of the things that I do and I encourage everybody to do is I try to read people. Where are they? Now, there are people that are hurting. And when you see hurting people and you get around hurting people, you know what they will do to you? They'll hurt you. And you know what you have to do? You have to figure out how not to get so engaged in looking at what they're doing that you forget that they're a soul first. That goes with all races, too. I don't care what race anybody is. They are a soul. I was in Faith Rescue Mission, you know, in the mission work for about 15 years. And 80% or more of the people that came through were black. I couldn't look at them any differently. I had to treat them as souls, and I didn't say I had to. I knew to. And we saw many of them saved and lives changed, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I just want you. He said, this is Christ whom you crucified. Verse 4. And some of them believed. Isn't that exciting? Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of the chief women, not a few. Some of them consorted with Paul. Some of them believed. You know what? We didn't lead anybody to the Lord in the parade. But we showed people what Christmas was about. And that's what it was about. Yeah, we threw candy out there so those kids can rot their teeth. I crashed. I don't know why I crashed after I came back. It could have been the sugar spike, sugar drop. 5 pieces of candy can do it to you. Times 3. Bill, were you there? Oh, she was gossiping? Is that what you're saying, Bill? I'll throw you under the bus, Bill. So we got the word out there. The word was what? Jesus is the gift. I went out there this morning. I took about five pictures of the thing. And then it really sunk. Because, see, I was too close to it. But the parade wasn't. The parade's on the side. And, you know, they're looking at it going, And the only thing they could read besides our name on the door is, Jesus is the gift. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We need to do it every year. I don't care what it takes. We need to do it. Now, they need a little bit more help this next time. And some of you can. Some of you didn't know. I really don't want to be building the float. Just telling you. I mean, do I enjoy it while I'm doing it? Yep. But I really need to just go, you know, there's about 7,000 things in life that need to be done. And so I need to just say, hey, here, I appreciate you volunteering your trailer. Now just build everything on it. You know, that's funny to hear that. He volunteered his, I think I do remember that. You know, I got a trailer we can use. Hey, just beware. Trent will be searching you down next year. Gary, you're on. Brenda, you're on. And the thing is, you know, remember, busy people are always the ones that are asked to do things. Okay? So just do what you can. If you can't help with the building of the float, there are donut deliverers and coffee deliverers and and sometimes it's setting up the light. I set up the light, you know, because he was working it when the Eversons were here. It was dark out, and I had a spotlight. I went out, and of course, the bulb didn't work. Had to change the bulb out. I mean, it was. But I knew he had to have light in order to conquer the task at hand for the next day. So I was all for getting in there and getting that light. So just do what you can. Remember, we're going to do everything we can in this church to try to reach this community and further. Okay? Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord, for being such a gracious, wonderful, merciful God. Lord, we thank you for Faith Independent Baptist Church. Thank you for those that do get involved, do volunteer their time, and do such a great work for Thee. Lord, it is all about Jesus. Help us to always stay focused on that. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. You are dismissed.